you can't take anybody lightly, man. You can't take anybody take anything for granted.
And the same goes for this seventh round pick turned all-pro linebacker. Don't sleep on the skills.
I love being underestimated. That chip on my shoulder has just been there since a kid.
But his charity work is education first, because this Philly kid, he grew up with an education first attitude.
My grandmother had a goal for me in mind. She used to tell me that I was going to graduate college or else. And, you know, and if you knew Juanita, you knew that or else came with other words. She used to always tell me that an education is something that nobody could take away from you.
He's an NFL All-Pro. He's committed to helping communities, and he just got traded. He is Zaire Franklin, now on The Pulse. Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We sit down with people doing cool things, hear their story, they're using their voice for good. And today we've got someone who's doing all that and also a local guy, West Oak Lane.
Yes, sir.
Zaire Franklin, I don't want to say of the Colts. Professional football player.
Indeed, for sure.
All pro.
All pro, indeed.
All those things.
Yes, sir.
Should be playing for the Eagles.
In another universe, in another, okay. Another timeline.
I can do it. I mean, I'll give you the Colts, but, you know, we're loyal to the birds. But thank you for coming in, Zaire Frank.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The whole lead-in, like West Oak Lane, mm-hmm. Philly. Like, tell us a little bit about that journey. Like, how'd you get to here?
Yeah, so, you know, really born and raised in North Philly, right off of 23rd and Sedgley. But, you know, moved uptown to West Oak Lane when I was in middle school with my mother and my grandmother. And, you know, I was really raised by women, you know. I feel like if I had to bring back my childhood and my upbringing back to that, two strong women who really, you know, taught me everything the hard way. Any person who grew up in a house with just women understands the fine lines that you have to walk to maintain peace. But, you know, through there, went to Conwell Middle School right there in Kensington, went to Franklin Leonard Center, but transferred to LaSalle. Ended up losing my parents, my mother and my grandmother, 2 months apart when I was 16. And, you know, I feel like that just really helped shape my life. You know, the LaSalle community really wrapped their arms around me. Forever grateful for them for that. And helped usher me to Syracuse and then to Indianapolis. So, you know, my journey has been a unique one. I wouldn't change any part of it for the world. But, you know, when we got in the league, the first thing we did was try to figure out how we could give back. You know, how could we put an impact not only on Philly, but in the communities that we was in. And Shalisa's Angels was our answer to that. So.
How do you, taking a step back, because obviously they had a huge impact in your mother and your grandmother, but you lost them at 16. Mm-hmm. And 16, you were still Zaire Franklin, but you weren't this Zaire Franklin.
Yeah, whole different version.
Right. How do you keep going? I mean, these strong women were in your life. You're trying to get to college, go pro, mm-hmm. And then you lose arguably the most influential people in your lives.
No question. I mean, but that was really lesson number one, perseverance, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, how to keep your head down and continue to work towards something. You know, my grandmother had a goal for me in mind. She used to tell me that I was going to graduate college or else. And, you know, and if you knew Juanita, you knew that or else came with other words.
Okay.
So, you know, once they passed, you know, for me, it was just proving them right. You know, they made a lot of sacrifices for me to, you know, go to LaSalle. And, you know, I know they had dreams of me eventually being a college graduate. So that was just something I had to finish for them.
So the dream was education, college. For them, not necessarily football?
No, I mean, she loved me on football more than anybody. You know, I think me playing football gave her the most joy. Honestly, she loved it. But at the end of the day, she knew what was most important. She used to always tell me that an education is something that nobody could take away from you. So it was really important for her, for me, to finish my education. So
you get out of high school, going to college, mm-hmm. even then, like at some point you're becoming the Zaire Franklin who's going to, although were you? Because you were not a first round
pick. No,
like you no, continued to have to work.
Yeah.
So was the goal even then to go pro, or was it still I promised education?
I mean, you know, it's so funny. So it's like my mindset really changed, you know. So I started as a freshman. I was a captain like my sophomore year. It was like mm-hmm. the first time in like a really long time that happened at Syracuse. But I was majoring in, I was a double major in finance and marketing. I was like going to me and my wife, my then girlfriend, now wife, was majoring in IT. We were going to job fairs together, you know, trying to plan out what our life would look like in probably downtown Philly, downtown New York. It wasn't until really my junior year, you know, we played Notre Dame and they were a team full of NFL players, future NFL players. And, you know, when I was out like having an impact performance against them, that was, and it was in an NFL stadium, it was in MetLife. So that was like the first time I really thought to myself, like, man, I probably could do this on Sundays, you know, and end up getting all ACC my junior year. And then at that point I was like, all right, well, yeah, I got a legitimate shot to go to the NFL. I probably should keep training and stop going to job fairs. So,
okay.
My resume hasn't been updated since my junior year in college.
So. Well, I mean, it's been updated. You just haven't changed a lot of stuff. You didn't have to update it.
No,
there's a whole
sure.
bunch of more stuff on that. So that was when it kind of became focused on. Like, when did it become, I really can do this?
I think it was then. You know, I remember playing Notre Dame, and they had two top 10 offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They had Mike McGlinchey, who's a Philly native. He went to Penn Charter. Shout out to Mike McGlinchey. And they had my now teammate, Quentin Nelson.
Okay.
And they were my linebacker coach pretty much told me, he said, look, if you could beat these guys, you could beat anybody. And, you know, that first half, I had, like, you know, like 10 tackles, an interception, and a pick. And I was just kind of like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I think I could do this on Sundays, especially if I'm beating them. So, you know, so that's kind of when it flipped.
So that happens.
Right.
You believe it. You pause the job fair. Was wifey okay with pausing the job fair?
she was giving me little looks. I give her a tough time now because I just remembered it like not that long ago. I was like, yo, you was definitely on me about not going to job fairs no
more.
Now
she's like, we got plans.
Yeah, but it all worked out. So
you're going through that. But even then, you knew you could do it. Your coaches knew you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a grind.
Yeah.
Like, you still had to work for everything.
Yeah.
Like, where'd that motivation come from?
I mean, I don't think I prefer it any other way. Like, I love being underestimated, you know? You know, that chip on my shoulder has just been there since a kid. You know, I feel like, you know, coming to Indianapolis, seventh round pick, you know, I just pulled up with the most to prove. And, you know, I just had to force my way in and make a mark on my name and make my place on that organization. And, you know, like I said, I'm just proud. I love that, though. I love being an underdog. That's my favorite thing. I just more interested in proving myself right than proving everybody else wrong. So,
was that mom and grandma's strength? Because the seventh round pick's not supposed to make the team.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
You're certainly not supposed to be all pro. Like, a seventh
right.
round pick is, you know, we appreciate you. We got a nice practice squad spot for
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, but that was never, like, you're coming in there, I got something to prove.
Oh, yeah, I was never going to be on nobody's practice squad, like, ever. Like, that wasn't what I showed up to do. I was showed up to play. And
okay.
I feel like that mentality and that energy from the day one set the tone for my career in Indianapolis.
As we talked about your mom and grandma when you were 16. So the concept of wanting to do something to honor them, to support them, that existed even then, and it just took a while until you had the ability, the resources. How do we get to Shalice's Angels?
Well, you know, they always, my grandmother and my mom instilled, you know, serving the community for me from a very young age. You know, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to run the polls in the neighborhood. So every election day, you know, I'm home and, you know, they get in the whole neighborhood registered to vote. And I'm going over there, checking over there a couple of times a day. And it was almost like a family tradition. You know, it was, you know, my grandmother ran in. My mom was supposed to take over when she was done. And it was supposed to go on and so forth. So I would just say, you know, serving the community was something that was always big in my family, especially in LaSalle as well. Once I got drafted, you know, the very first thing that we did was donate uniforms to elementary school in North Philly,
okay.
Kinderton Elementary. Shout out to Kinderton. And I think the first thing we was doing was just trying to figure out how we could help, you know, the kids and the students of Philly. So Shalice's Angels was born in 2019. And, you know, when we really created it, the original thought kind of came back to how the women of our lives really impacted us and really helped us. And, you know, Shalisa's Angels is really a nod to them. And we continue to do, you know, great work in Philly and Indianapolis, but with a special attention to the young ladies because we feel like they get overlooked. And, you know, just giving them experiences and opportunities is means the most.
It speaks to how much that mattered to you. Because, again, I keep going back to the seventh round pick. Yeah. Like, I can talk about that now because where you are in your career. But seventh round pick, I want to do Shalisa's Angels. We're going to start this. But the seventh round pick didn't have I could fund this myself money.
Oh, no question.
You know? So you kind of had to figure it out, and you really had to be committed to that.
Well, yeah, so the beauty of it is, you know, and again, I wouldn't change our journey no other way. We were our own team, you know. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it now. I got a marketing team and all kind of people who could build a bunch of stuff in place, but we had to do it from the ground up. But it taught us the business. We had to learn things our way, and we had to be creative. We had to think, okay, we don't have no big sponsorship. How can we really impact these kids? How can we give them a unique experience? You know, something that no one else is offering. So the very first thing we really did was we got a group of 20 young girls from Conwell Middle School and took them to Google headquarters in 2019.
Okay. They wife had was in IT.
Yeah, but she was working at Ernst & Young at the time.
Be fancy.
Look, she was making money. I was proud of her. But so they had a tour of the campus, had a chance to sit down with a panel of young African women, African American women as well, to talk about their journey, talk about perseverance. We had to just be creative, think outside the box how we was going to help the kids. So, but it ended up making us better for it. So,
but that was always something that you just, I'm going to do this.
I knew I was going to have an impact. You know, you when you know you're going to the type of value that you have that you want to give back to. I just believe in, you know, as I continue to ascend to reach down and help another young student, not only overcome an obstacle, but maybe they could avoid the obstacle altogether. You know, we had to learn a lot of things the hard way, and we had to grow through those things. I think part of being that, you know, the next generation is really helping the generation after you avoid a issue altogether just by giving them information.
So it is, you got flag football games, you've taken them on tours, you offer the support. Like, what all does Shalisa's Angels kind of do? Just if people need support, you got them.
Well, it's fun how it's evolved over the years. I think we're going on our seventh year of existence now, so a lot has changed. You know, we started with the trips, but in COVID, we couldn't do anything. Nothing was open, so we started our first annual Business Academy. It's a two-day event where the first day we invite business owners from the community to come and speak about not only their business, but perseverance and what it takes to be an entrepreneur. The second day, you know, we have a computer program where we actually teach students to run their own business. Mm-hmm. It's like a video game for them, like Mr. Miyagi almost. okay. You know what I mean? They do everything from hiring staff to naming a restaurant, insurance, it's all a thing. And, you know, now we've evolved. We have a great partnership with Rita's Water Ice. Now we do our Business Academy exclusively with them. They get a chance to go into Rita's headquarters and learn, you know, just about the business of what it means to, you know, run the Rita's, and they get to create their own flavors, and they present, you know, why they made the flavors and market it. And it's so fun. We do a bunch of different things like that. Girls Flag is also a huge thing for us now. You know, we had a huge jamboree last year at LaSalle. I had my boy Devontae Smith pull up. Shout out to Smitty, Slim Reaper, for sure. So he pulled up, and we touch on so many different topics, but I think mainly, you know, financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and Girls Flag is probably our main things.
It is interesting, and part of this is because, I mean, we're talking about Shalisa's Angels, but it's interesting because the career that you've had, the things that you've overcome, the success that you're kind of the everybody says the anchor of the Colts defense, you know, all pro, that level of success. It seems like this is what really makes you happy.
Oh, I tell people that all the time. I mean, I'm like, and people look at me like, I'm like, man, like, nothing fills my heart or like feeds my spirit like being, you know, with the kids. Like, I feel like, in a way, it's like every time I go to a boys and girls club or something, I feel like I'm back in seventh grade all over again, you know? And, you know, they want to talk about how they could run me over or what Derrick Henry would do to me. Like, you know, it's so fun just having, you know, time to talk with them and spend time with them. And I just think, you know, when I was a kid, I used to just really want to interact and just know that the Eagles and the football players were just real people, you know. I think sometimes just them being in the same room with me and seeing me, I think just makes so many of their dreams seem so much more realistic. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that I'm a real person who laughs, who, you know, has jokes and you know, can enjoy, you know, like he likes cheese pizza. Just that little alone, I think, just makes it seem like their dreams could just be a reality too. So
it's interesting because the things that you focus on, obviously, is the scholarship gala. We want to tell people how they can get involved. But the things that you focus on seem like it's also sending a message to North Philly, to inner cities, to whatever, that you can be all of this. And, like, no disrespect to basketball camps, football camps,
right,
those types of things, but job seminars and IT training and going to Google, you going to job fairs, you and your then girlfriend doing all that, that's not the stereotypical here's what you can do coming out of North Philly, you know, and West Oak Lane. I mean, you're showing them that you can.
Well, that was really our original goal, you know. Again, no disrespect to football camps. I've helped my teammates and, you know, and a bunch of stuff with football camp. I think there's great. But for me, we just wanted to show the kids that it's a different way, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have to rap. You don't have to play football to make it out or to be successful. You know, one of my favorite trips is when we took them to the Sixers headquarters. Mm-hmm. We're taking a group of young women and young men to Sixers headquarters, and you don't have to play basketball to work in the NBA, you know, whether that's social media, whether that's marketing, whether that's chief operations officer. There's just so many different ways to do the things and be around the things that you love without having to go just the way that we all see. And I think, you know, for myself, I think the only thing that limited me as a kid was my imagination. So I think just the genesis of what we're trying to do is just trying to show kids and expand their imagination and show them things that, you know, they may not even knew was possible to achieve.
And do really well. I mean, we've had people who come and tour the station.
Yeah.
And what everybody knows and sees are the people who are in front of the camera and on TV. And when you take them around and tour and they see control rooms or the sales department or executive producers or all these things, and they're going, oh, there's a whole bunch of opportunities to go out there and be involved. It really is eye-opening.
Yeah.
And that part I think is cool. Tell us about the scholarship gala.
Yeah, so when I was 16 and I lost my parents, extremely tough time for me, but the LaSalle community really wrapped their arms around me, both emotionally and financially. They helped me finish my school in there, which was big for me at that time. We were on welfare. We were really barely affording to stay in there. So now that, you know, Shalisa's Angels has been established and we've been able to, you know, grow, one of the things we did was wanted to give back and try to help that next generation. So this is our second annual scholarship gala where we're honoring a young man who's attending LaSalle next year. He's receiving the Juanita Bailey Highsmith Scholarship from Shalisa's Angels to go to LaSalle. Okay. That is my grandmother's name. The scholarship gala is going to be a great night. We had a great time last year. Roxy from Power 99 is our MC.
Roxy Romeo.
Yeah.
She's just here.
Yeah, we're going to be a great night. We got some good auction items. It's just going to be a great time. I feel like that's just what the city be needing, though. You know, positive energy for a good cause. So.
Okay, and people want to get involved. They obviously can get involved with the scholarship gala.
Yes.
Can they get involved with the organization?
Yes. We're growing, expanding. Please follow us at Shalisa's Angels, Shelice Angels on Instagram, and shalisasangels.org online. There's plenty of things that we're growing and get involved with. We're honoring two extremely special women who helped the Philadelphia community. Elaine Johnson Gonzalez with the Latinas in Motion. She does a lot of great work with the health and wellness of Latinas and across 8 states, 5,000 members, very amazing. And Catherine Epps, she's the CEO of Fund Philadelphia School District. which is amazing in and of itself, you know, trying to make sure that the school district has the right resources to be successful. So it's going to be a great night. And like I said, we're always continuing to expand, always looking to partner. So we're always looking forward to it.
Can't let you get out of here without talking a little bit of football.
Shoot at me.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're from Philly.
Indeed.
But you don't play in Philly.
No.
Are we as different as everybody says?
The fans?
Yeah.
Yes. But I think N'Kobe Dean actually said it the best. He said a fan told him that Eagles fans will jump in front of a bullet for you, but they also may be the one to pull the trigger. And I think that is honestly the best way that I could honestly, genuinely describe it. But I love that. Like, to me, Eagles fans have a standard. Like, the city, the organization has a standard. So they really just trying to hold you accountable in its own way. But me being from Philly, I understand Philly fans that y'all bullies. You know, so the only way to you have to just let a bully.
You were one of us.
I am a bully in my heart. So it's like you just got to let a bully know that you can't bully me. And I think those athletes who done that, they create a sort of understanding with the city to where it's okay, we're going to hold you accountable, but we know we can't go this far with you. You know, prime example is my guy Sirianni. He was with me in Indianapolis. He's not sweet. Like, Sirianni got dog in him.
Okay.
And I think you see that when he come. He's not willing to turn those head away from the sideline and get the yelling at an Eagles fan. So, you know, I think he just got to set his own boundaries. But, yeah, y'all are crazy. But I love it, though. Like, I love seeing it. Y'all could have left my man Kev alone, but it's okay.
I don't know, man.
That was crazy.
I don't know.
That was crazy. That's my man.
He might be a really nice dude. You know, there's a lot of quality people who aren't very good at their job, or at least appear to not be very good at it. Never met him.
That's hilarious.
So, whatever. But I think Philly just wants you to play hard.
Yeah.
You know, and wants you to go ahead, give everything you have, and then, right, we'll step in front of a bullet. That's a really good line. I never heard him say that. What do we got to do to get you to come play in Philly?
I mean, money talks, first and foremost. But, you know, you never know what the future holds.
Would you like to play here?
I think at some point in my career it would be great for my family. Mm-hmm. I have a good relationship with Howie, though. Like I said, you know, Devontae's a friend of mine. Know AJ. Know a lot of those guys on that team, too. So, you know, like I said, at some point, it would be cool for my family to be able to, you know, play in the home city, run out the tunnel with the link. That could be cool.
So you do podcasts now, too?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, a little bit. Why that look? Are you enjoying that? Seems like the other side of it. You know, as somebody who plays, you now are in that also that kind of media-ish role that more and more players are getting involved with.
Yeah.
What do we in the media need to know about doing this job, interacting with y'all, that now you're doing it, so you understand it too?
I would say you just have to understand. I think as an athlete that does it, it's a little different because I'm more likely to really run into some of these guys. You know, I think sometimes with the media, it's they speak on, you know, athletes almost in a inhumane type of way. It's not really a personal thing because they know they're not going to ever be in a situation where they're going to be in front of that person, you know, right. With no cameras. Like, you know what I mean? Have to answer to some of the things that they say. You know, for myself, I'm a city's dude, whether that's on Sunday or that's Friday night. You know, we're going to see each other somewhere. So the things I say, I just got to say on my chest. But I ain't never scared of that.
Amen. Was Mike Tyson who said that social media has made people way too comfortable disrespecting people and not getting punched in the mouth?
No, indeed.
So that's part of that. We've had a couple people who have come in, actors, comedians, who then move into media.
Yeah.
And we've had that discussion because you say something, then you're likely to be sitting in the same room with the people.
Right.
It makes you think a little bit more about it.
Yeah, but I also think sometimes you got to remove the emotion from things. Like if, you know, I'm not playing well and then you say something about my play, you're not attacking me as a person.
Right.
You're attacking what I do, you know, so it's kind of like you have to, as a player, kind of be able to understand that that comes with it. You know, I think it's a little bit of a fine line between guys. You know, some guys take things more personal than others. So,
all right, not people. You got to be tough to play in Philly.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's the nature of the city, though. You see a lot of these teams and the fan base, it represents the city. So I feel like you got to be tough to live in Philly. You know, every time you meet somebody and they be like, oh, where you from? You be like, I'm from Philly. They, oh, you from Philly? Oh, all right. It's like they give you that, okay, you done probably seen something, you know? So it's like kind of the same thing. Like, the fans take on the persona of the city. So that's all it is.
Before I let you get out of here, what's next for you? Obviously, you're going to continue playing. You're moving forward there, continuing to expand Shalice's Angels. Are there big plans that we should be looking out for? There's something going on.
It's so funny. It's just, you know, for right now, man, I'm just taking day by day, looking forward for what the plan that God has for me and my family. But I think it's going to be a great year.
Okay, and again, if people want to get involved with Shalice's Angels, if they want more information on the gala or just in general, how do they get there?
Shalice'sAngels.org, S-H-E-L-I-C-E-S, angels.org, or Shalice's Angels on Instagram. Also, can follow me, Zaire, Z-A-I-R-E, 2 underscores.
This show is about using your voice for good, and that's what we've been talking about the whole show. So we ask everybody the same ending question, and that is, when you hear that phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
It means you have a responsibility with the platform that you've been given to put some positivity back in the universe. It's a lot of craziness going on in this world. Be the change that you want to see.
Like it. Zaire Franklin, Philly's own. Appreciate you coming in.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Good. Now sign him, Howie. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with NFL All-Pro Philly guy, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts, Zaire Franklin. And I say that because after we recorded this episode just days ago, he was then traded from the Indianapolis Colts to the Green Bay Packers. Big deal for him. Congratulations to him. I tried to get him to Philadelphia, and now it makes sense. When I asked him if something big was coming up, and he kind of avoided the question, now perhaps we know why. Either way, great guy who is doing great things, continues to be committed to empowering communities in Philadelphia and elsewhere. Green Bay, you're getting a good one. Do me a favor, hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that pops up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse is available. You can also hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I always love hearing from you. Thanks again for listening, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.